Ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me is my infected friend, Ian.
Let's be.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at the Zombicide series, designed by Raphael Guttin, Jean-Baptiste Lulin, and Nicholas Rout. Artwork created by so many different people and published by Come On Global Limited and Guillotine Games.
Zombicide is a 1-6 player cooperative zombie fighting game where players are forced to survive in the world of the undead. You will search for weapons, knock down doors, make a plan to kill and escape your death, but avoid making too much noise. They will find you. Players will continue to survive until they complete their mission. Will the heroes survive the assault of zombies, or will they perish? Let's review the Zombicide.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween. Oh, now he's gonna die.
That hurt. Well, hello there.
Hello there.
Might have ruined my voice just on that one and a half takes.
I don't even know if it was a full half.
Yeah, probably not. But I do have a question.
Oh, me too.
Oh, good, because it is Halloween coming up here. What, the day after this? Wait.
Tomorrow, yeah. if you're listening on the 30th.
Yes.
When this episode drops.
Well.
Easy, buddy.
Do you have a favorite Halloween film? Because, well, we'll stick to Halloween for now, but as far as, because I do like zombies a little bit, but I'm not like a heavy zombie guy. So I'm going to keep it generic unless you have another question that sticks to that. But I'm going to ask about, what's your favorite Halloween scary film?
Okay. So I like where your head's at. I feel like it's in a good space, but I'm going to pivot on you slightly. We're going to answer our own questions tonight. Oh. You can answer this one for yourself and I'll answer because I'm kind of in the same vein, but mine was going to be your favorite zombie media.
Oh,
just in general. So you answer favorite Halloween film and I'll do zombie film.
Okay. Well, I don't really have a zombie film.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's on you. You messed up there, but that's okay.
As far as scary Halloween film, I can't even answer my own question. That's the crazy
part.
Wow. The Nightmare Before Christmas is
Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas movie. I watch that on Halloween though, because I like it as a Halloween film into the next like season. That's what I always watch. That is one of my favorites, but it is like borderline. So I will take that out.
Borderline, it's a Christmas movie that you're choosing to watch on Halloween.
Yes, exactly. Because it has.
All right, I just want to make sure we all understand each other.
No. It is both a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. All right, chat. All right. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I watch it for both. I watch it for Halloween and I watch it for Christmas. So
That tracks.
I take it for both. So I understand if you think it's only Christmas, that's totally fine. But I watch it for both because I like it. And I think it obviously has both themes in it. In that same vein, I'm going to say Hocus Pocus, definitely on my list for sure. But straight scary, The Shining.
Okay. All right.
I just can't. I always love it. I love the acting. I love it. It's too good. It scares me to the, I don't know. It brings this fear to the core that I just want in a film. So it's there. It has it all.
Do you have a movie night on Halloween where you do in some order of Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus, and then The Shining? Is that a thing that you do?
No. So I know I'm too old, I guess. We want to go to bed. I can't watch all the movies in one night. But we did watch Hocus Pocus already. So we like to try and watch them before Halloween and then watch something on Halloween. I think we'll watch The Nightmare Before Christmas, but I do want to watch The Shining as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. My zombie movie of choice is 28 Days Later. I remember seeing this movie in high school actually as a project for my media class. It's an incredibly good movie. If you have not seen 28 Days Later and you even kind of like zombies, I would highly recommend it.
I haven't seen it.
If not,
no.
Dude, it's so good. It's set in the UK. It's very typical zombie apocalypse, but just the way they go about the different camera shots, the zombies are not slow walkers. They have speed to them, so it adds that extra threat. And so between the shots, the dialogue, this whole story that they go through, I think it's really good. Definitely a top tier zombie movie and horror film that isn't there just for the sake of horror. There's like this whole genre where horror movies are just like, this is stupid. The dialogue's crap. You were just here to jump scare you. But this is like actually good filming inside of a horror movie.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm seeing this. This is interesting. It's got Cillian Murphy in it. So that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, yep. Wow. Back when he was young.
A wee little lad.
Yeah, a wee lad. That's very cool.
So would highly recommend.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Well, there's your zombie film.
Your zombie Halloween question. Very
yes.
good.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about how to play zombie side and then we'll discuss.
Yeah. And obviously you mentioned that this is a series of many games.
It is that, yes.
But are we specifically saying, I guess it's more of, this is more of like the second edition type material that we're playing mostly, because there's an older version of the game that came out a long ago. And so not that, just a caveat.
I think, I don't even know if you can buy the original version in retail anymore.
Okay. Gotcha.
But there are a wide variety of versions and we're going to talk about it. I'm basically treating it as I'm going to give you the basic rule set that kind of goes throughout the Zombicide system.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to go over every rule set that happens in every edition, but each edition does have its own take on what it's doing.
Yeah.
This is just to give you a basic idea and you can explore the rest on your own. There are lots of forums and discussions about the various different versions and what they do and all that.
Yeah. And I was reading one as well that it went through a very detailed part of which each box adds. And so if you want something like that, look it up. We might be able to put it in the description below as well.
We can in fact do that.
Yeah. But there is some that literally there's somebody went through the details of what every single one does and that's how it's different. So
of course,
that.
By the time you read it, there'll be two more editions that'll pop out.
Right,
so
exactly.
All right. Let's talk about how to play. All right, so again, this is just the basic rule set, but at the beginning of each game, you are going to choose a objective with a mission in the back of the rule book. The rule book is super thick, but don't let that fool you. Half of that rule book is just a variety of missions that you can choose from to be able to set up different scenarios. And I will say too, there's, and I'm kind of jumping in here a little bit early, but there's a lot of customization. It's very much a sandbox structure of a game in that, not that you can go around doing whatever you want in some sandbox games, but the rule set is very sandboxy. It gives you the framework and then you can make some modifications if you want to. You can make your own maps, missions, etc., and the game's gonna be able to handle it just fine. All right, so with all that said, each mission is gonna have a number of tiles that need to be placed in a specific order and orientation to create the game board. There are zombie cards to determine zombie spawns during the game, as well as an item deck for players to find items throughout the game. Players get a survivor tray or multiple trays if there are less than six players, because you will have all six survivors on the board every single game, unless you want to make it harder, in which case you can trim it down a little bit. But the game does recommend that you start at the full survivor count. The survivor gets a card with its various abilities on it, a starting weapon, designated starting skills, and a danger slash experience track that starts on zero. As you kill zombies, you're going to work your way up that experience track, and it's going to allow you to have more abilities, but it's also going to make the zombies stronger. The game itself is broken down into three phases. Well, it's really two, but I like to mention the cleanup just to make sure you don't forget it. But there's really two phases, the player phase and the zombie phase. So during a player phase, they're going to activate each survivor that they control, going in turn order with the starting survivor. They will have three actions that they can do. It can be the same action three times, or it can be different actions. Once they complete all three of their actions, it will move to the next survivor in turn order, and will continue around the table until every survivor has had a turn. The different actions that you can do are move, attack, search, interact, or pass. When you move, the grid itself is broken up into different zones. So if you're out on the streets, then it's broken up into, basically there are crosswalks that break up the street into different squares. You just simply move your character from one square to another. If you were to enter into a building instead of being out on the street, a couple things are going to happen. First, your zones become the various rooms of the building, and you're going to immediately spawn zombies into each room in that building. You want to be very careful about when you're breaking into buildings, because you could very easily die. And if a character dies, the game is over. We don't want to lose our people.
No. You can't
even
die.
Even though you lose your people in pretty much every zombie scenario that's ever been made. With all that said, moving on from movement to attacking, everyone's favorite thing to do in this game. With attacking, each character can hold one or two weapons. Each weapon has four values on the bottom of its card. It has a range value. It has a number of dice when rolled. It has the number that each die needs to succeed in order to score damage. And last but not least, the damage that's actually dealt by each hit. Additionally, some items cause noise. If you are to cause noise on your turn, you put noise tokens on the board. The reason for that is that zombies are going to need to use the noise mechanic to know which way to go on their turn. Noise is cleared out during that cleanup phase at the end of the round, so that you're not constantly echoing in one little spot. Next, you can search. You can search inside of a room and be able to find some sweet items and be able to help yourself get a little bit stronger that way as well. And sometimes you need to interact. You can struggle to open a door, or you might need to complete an objective by interacting with an object. That's another thing that you can do on your turn. Those are the four basic actions. There are some other things that you can do depending on the addition that you're doing, but we're gonna leave it there. Once every survivor has gone, you move to the zombie phase. In the zombie phase, first, the ones that are already on the board go ahead and take their actions determined by the type of zombie that they are. There are four types of zombies primarily. There are walkers, runners, fatties, and abominations. Walkers are your very typical, think Walking Dead. They don't move very fast. They're just moving one step at a time. And when they get into the same zone as you, they try to attack you. And what I mean by trying to attack, they do attack you. You'll take one damage. Most survivors either have two or three health. Don't die. Next up are our runners. They're the super cool, super fast, super dangerous runners that move two spaces or attack you twice or move once and attack you once. So you want to be really careful about those guys. Next up are our fatties. They are fat, so it takes a lot more firepower to kill them. You need to be able to damage them with two damage on a single hit. You cannot combine two hits to be able to make damage. You have to be able to do it with a single two damage hit. And then last but not least are the abominations. The abominations are different in every single box, depending on which version that you go with. But typically, you can't just outright kill an abomination with normal damage. You've got to have lots of upgrades or a special Molotov combo that we love to throw at them, or things of that nature. Both fatties and abominations are like walkers in that they step one and then attack one, unless they have special abilities based on your version. These are the four basic types of zombies. There are also a multitude of expansions for each version that allow different things to happen, depending on what you're getting. But after all zombies have taken their actions, new zombies are spawned based on the zombie spawn cards drawn for each spawn location on the board. Once they've spawned, players clean up the board of unused tokens, the first survivor of the next round rotates, and the next round begins. Play continues like this until the mission objective has been completed and the survivors have escaped, or the zombies eat the survivors. Let's head back to the table and discuss.
Man, I was, you know... there's something about a zombie game, a board game, because I don't watch a lot of movies about it, but there are a couple of board games that I have played, and there's just something about trying to defeat zombies that's just a good theme.
Sure. Oh, I feel like it's something, even if you don't like horror at all, everybody can relate to fighting zombies for whatever right. reason. It's so ingrained in our culture at this point.
Yeah.
That everyone can be like, oh yeah, I'd love to pick up a shotgun and just start shooting things.
Exactly. It's just easy. It's an easy theme for people to get involved in.
Sure. Yeah, whenever we play this, if someone asks me how to describe Zombicide, I always start with, it's a beer and pretzels game. It's super casual. I'm going to hand you some stuff. You're going to have some very basic actions that you can do on your turn. And we're just going to go around the streets trying to kill zombies and do stuff.
Yeah. So I would like to start with one. I mean, you got to have a lot of designers. I think it's been kind of manipulated and tweaked throughout this period. It's hard to kind of deep dive into any specific person here. But Simon or come on or what's the official name now? It's hard for me to keep.
We have evolved to Come On Global Limited.
Okay. Well, there you go. They have done an excellent job with this game, above and beyond probably what most people need in a game. They just like, oh, you want more content? Here you go. And so I like one. Come On has always done an excellent job in quality of their games. And this is what I think is an important aspect to mention about this game is the minis. The minis are fantastic.
Sure.
Highly detailed. And you feel like you are immersed and submerged into a world of zombies because you are just overwhelmed at times when playing this game, which makes it feel like a true zombie experience. And so that's why I want to mention that now before we get too far ahead, because I think they did a really good job with all of that, is that it feels like you're playing against zombies because there's just so many on the board and the minis are like really pretty.
I would agree with that. This game is so interesting because I remember when the original Zombicide came out and it really changed it. I mean, it was the trailblazer to change the entirety of how gaming is made. Mm-hmm. Because this was like the first, as far as I can remember, I may be like totally sticking my foot in my mouth here, but it was like the first major minis game that we slapped on Kickstarter and said, we're going to make this, but we need you to give us money first. And then we're going to have hundreds of minis come with it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, you want to add on all these extras? Absolutely. At $15 a pop, you can buy whatever you want. And we're going to keep doing stretch goal after stretch goal after stretch goal. And there are all these exclusives. And it just became this monster that has grown over the years, and they've continued to pump out the same thing. I mean, it is different. Don't get me wrong. They've refined the rules. They've made new themes. They've done a lot of things to continue to grow and adapt, and there's been some parts of that that I've really loved. But this game is just so fascinating from a market perspective and the influence it's had on the culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the bigger ones. Maybe there was plenty before it, but this is the one that really took off and is still going. And that's always rare. You have plenty of miniatures games, miniature companies that are really pumping them out on Kickstarters and stuff, a game found now, but this is the one. It's kind of more for board gamers that just has a bunch of minis, more than a straight miniatures game.
Sure.
As well. And so I think it's hitting an audience that wants these really pretty minis, but also I want to play a game as well. And so that's a distinction that definitely needs to be made. But yeah, this isn't a game that came out that is, yeah, pushing that kind of boundary for what games were doing and really taking it to a whole other level that now it's the standard, at least on Kickstarter and GameFound. So it's really, this pushed the limits of what could be done, and now everything matches it in a way.
Sure. No, I completely agree. What do you think about, I mean, I think we could spend a whole episode just talking about the way that this game has impacted the hobby, but obviously want to review the game itself. So for Zombicide, what are some things that really draw you in on that?
Yeah. So the most game that I have been exposed to is Zombicide Second Edition. I have not played the Marvel or whatever. There is so much, just the second edition. And so I know a lot of the rules in that are obviously they go through all the different games. So this is just from what I'm experienced in, though, is that with the player abilities and the way you're progressing throughout the game, you're upgrading one, like you're finding more weapons that are cooler. You're passing weapons around. You're building this team and you're trying to upgrade everybody all together because it's cooperative. And so you're trying to help each other upgrade yourselves and your guns and like all those things as the game goes on. And what I really like about it is it's simple. You're just rolling some dice and you're like moving on the board and just literally flipping tokens up or cards. I think that's such an easy, simple way to create this system of adventure / defeat your enemy. it's an easy move, find, fight. And I think it's a really simple, straightforward way to have fun. When this game, you boil it down, you have fun while playing this game. It's fantastic. You're moving around just shooting zombies, but there is a little bit of depth there because you're making decisions each turn on your board. And in the second edition specifically, it has the little pegs and you're moving them around. You're getting your experience from how many zombies you're killing. And you're able to unlock these kind of features on your characters. And each of them in that specific box are all different. They're all doing different things. Some of them are good at this. Some are good at that. Some are good at fighting with melee. Some are good at ranged. Some get a lot of extra move actions and stuff like that. So maybe, again, I might be able to move faster than you, but you might be able to attack better than me. They're like just simple variety. It's not anything overtly complex, but it's adding enough depth to each character that it feels fun and refreshing every time you play. And I like that aspect of, okay, I've now hit level 2 because I've killed 10 zombies. All right, now I'm a lot better at moving or a lot better at attacking. It's just a very like simple, straightforward way to keep players constantly wanting to achieve something throughout a game. If you're just rolling dice, attacking, moving, that could get boring.
True.
But if you're like, no, you get to upgrade your character as you play throughout the game. And if you make it to late game, your character is going to be absolutely jacked. Who doesn't want to hear that? And who doesn't want to try and achieve that in a game?
Right. No, and the beauty of that is in a lot of missions, becoming jacked is not actually the goal.
Right.
And so it's like this interesting distraction that the game has created of, oh yeah, you want to keep getting stronger? You go for it. By the way, every time you get stronger, the zombies get stronger. And so just wait for that big horde to come on out, okay?
Right, right. Exactly. It's like they I don't know. They must have figured something out in playtesting. They're like, okay, we don't want to incentivize you to get upgraded to the max too much because if we want you to have this decision, do I upgrade myself? Or do I go and help the team?
Right.
And like how honestly, if you think about it, how fitting is that for a zombie game? What zombie movie have you seen where it's like, do I help my friends or do I help myself?
Sure.
And it's the inner struggle of the human race, but also just in any zombie film. It's like, do I help myself at the cost of my group or do I help the group at the cost of what maybe I need or what I want?
And it's funny because as soon as one player is moving into that next level, the zombies get harder.
Right.
So even if you want to focus on yourself and do your own thing, you're even hurting yourself because your teammates can't handle the stronger horde that you've now activated by jumping up too quickly before they were ready.
Right. Exactly. It's this very fine balance in between your delicate tightrope that you are managing throughout this game.
Yeah, it's true. I also really like that the decision making on when to do what does have consequences. You know, if you're the last survivor in the row, you better not be breaking down that door, because if you do, you are going to die. And that's just going to be the end of it. So it really, it requires cooperation like we've been talking about, which I think is really good because you want a cooperative game to actually feel like you have to work together, not like there's six individuals just out here getting jacked and not actually working together to get the job done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's, again, it just fits the theme. It's just the subtleness of it, I think, because overall, you're looking at this board, it's kind of like, in most cases, it's like a city of some kind or some sure. buildings. And you're like, okay, well, the zombies are in here on the streets or in the buildings and we have to find them or whatever. Within that is, yeah, these little details, these little hidden details that add that kind of stress and anxiety to playing a tension-filled zombie game.
Yep.
And this has it. But it doesn't have, you know, an exceptional amount of depth necessarily, but it adds these subtleness that brings the game to, I feel like, a complete, whole, encompassing experience.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I know that we're going to get to some cons later, and this next thought, where I kind of transition a little bit, has a pro and a con to it. I also like the amount of versions that they have, because if you read online, just a few forums, jump on BGG, whatever, there is no clear cut, this is the one.
No.
Like they have learned and they've grown over time, but there are people that will adamantly say modern's best, or the fantasy version is best, or no, the space one is best. No, the Western is best. No, they got it right with Marvel. It's all over the place. And so
yeah.
It creates this opportunity where everybody can kind of get what they want.
Yeah. Overall, there's a lot of expansions and there's a lot of specific core boxes as well. And all have good reviews, but there's not any one that like is like well above and beyond as far as ratings, even if you're looking at those specifically. It's just, there's not one that's, yeah, that's just obviously the clear winner. It's not. It's what theme do you like? And stick with that. I think that's something that could get you and you have fun with. So there's a lot of variety. And speaking of, since we've kind of touched on it now, like there's the expansion specifically, one with the Marvel, then the Marvel has a bunch of expansions within that universe. So you can have, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and Fantastic Four and whatever. There's so many. And then on top of that, like you said before, you have just a strict, okay, the undead and then a Western and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different options. To be clear on this, I guess I did see only one to two options as far as being on the cheaper entry level boxes. It seems, and I may be wrong, but they're harder to find, but there is some that come with a little bit more cardboard. And then I think one of the Marvel boxes comes with the cardboard pieces, and then the hero/zombies are the plastics. So it cuts down a little bit on cost. But in general, you're looking at least $80+ for a core box. And so that's something to keep in mind as well. I think where the other one was running around 50-ish. And so again, those are something to keep in mind if you're looking through all these different expansions and stuff like that. There are very few limited options on trying to get into it on a cheaper base. If not, you're going to be spending the full price for just, you know, a core box of some kind. So.
Yeah. So this is the pro and the con, and this is what I would transition with into our cons, unless you have another pro before we.
No, that's, yeah, that's definitely.
So the pro is that there are lots of expansions and there's lots of opportunity to expand your Zombicide game. The downside is there's lots of expansions, lots of temptation to spend lots of money. And if you don't get in at the Kickstarter where you're going to spend a ton of money to begin with, it's going to be even more expensive to try and get that stuff, or impossible later on. I understand the model. I get it. The publishers will consistently pump out a new Kickstarter. They'll give some support to the big box expansions and the core box for that time. But once that print run is done, they have moved on. And there is no getting it unless you're willing to pay through the nose or get lucky somewhere. I'm not a huge fan of that because I don't like dropping multiple hundreds of dollars on a game that I haven't played yet. especially for something I've got another version of already. So I get it, but I don't like it.
Yeah. It's a tough decision to be made, especially if you don't know. And when you're talking about, you know, an $80 set of a game, you know, that's something to keep in mind. And it's really hard to come in under that $80. It's just going to be tough. They don't have many options. And so
short of a major sale, like a Black Friday, something, you're not going to find the core box for under $80. There's just too much in it. And yeah, that's great. I mean, you get lots of zombie miniatures. In fact, if you're if you do some kind of miniatures thing and you need zombies, this is a great buy, because per mini, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
And they're definitely more than passable.
Yeah.
The flip side is, and this is what the other thing I'll say, and then I'm going to give my 2 cents. With the heroes, there's only 6 options in the base box. And you play with all 6 in every game. So there's no variety from the hero side. And that is a bummer to me, that you have to buy expansions to feel like you've got some variety in how you play.
You have to buy at least one expansion, which is the character pack.
Right. And that way you can at least shuffle up the characters a little bit.
And that's another $25-$30.
So, I mean, and even then, how often can you get the character pack after the Kickstarter?
I think I found it on Amazon.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not always the case. I know second edition, because of the fact that it's a big one, there has been more of that that's lingered around. But I mean, most versions, it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, there is they have an upgrade kit and a survivor kit, which is 12 new characters for $30.
Yeah. I think they're almost required to let you feel like there's different things going on.
Yeah, there's some other options as well. So, but yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. So, and then so you say that, so then when you're looking at like the Marvel packs or DC or whatever, you play as the Marvel characters as zombies fighting off humans in those boxes, but then you can't, I think it has both sides where you can flip it the other way as well. But that's kind of the premise there, of the zombies have become the heroes have become zombies, and now you're playing as zombies. And so
that's right. Yeah. So it's very much based on the Marvel Zombies comic.
Yeah.
And so you do have some of your main villains are the heroes that have not been infected yet. And then obviously there's some that have become infected, and those are who you play as. And then you're fighting off S.H.I.E.L.D. and whatever else. And, you know, you've got the space theme, which changes it up to where you're not fighting zombies, you're fighting alien zombies. You've got Black Plague, where you're fighting in a fantasy setting. And I think that one gets a lot of love because I think it gives the most variety. You've got archer zombies and you've got crows and all that kind of cool stuff. And it just feels very unique. It also feels like probably one of the harder ones. So there's that as well. There's the Western theme. There's all these different things. And so, you know, the advice that a lot of people give, and I would agree with this, you've just got to pick the theme that speaks to you and go after that if this is a game that you want. Because there's just no way, I mean, you can, but it's like, there's some people that do own all the zombies, Zombicide. There's no reason to, outside of just collecting it.
Yeah.
I mean, for game purposes, there's no reason.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. It would, unless you're a completionist, and that's the only, unless you're playing it that much, I guess it might be worth it, but.
Sure. But that's, I mean, it's a lifestyle game at that point, right? Like, that's all you're playing.
Yeah. Kudos to you.
What about, so I feel like that's a lot on the buying side. What about mechanically? Do you have anything that you don't really care for?
It can be, you have a lot of dice rolls. And so there's not always any ways to like truly manipulate the dice. It's just straight up like, you know, if you have a really good gun, then yeah, it's like roll like a 2 or better. But if it's like a medium weapon and you don't have any special ability or anything, like you roll and you roll bad, and that might cost you the game. That has cost me a game. And so that's something to keep an eye out it's just something they'd be wary of. Is again, it's light enough that I don't know if I'm going to care too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something to keep in mind, and I like to be able to manipulate the dice, or at least be able to get some type of benefit or reroll or change a side, something like that, to at least help. And I don't feel like that's always there, especially early on, and that can affect your gameplay pretty heavily.
Yeah, it's that weird line, right, where you're like, okay, is this a casual game? Do I care about the fact that I just rolled ones again? Do I just kind of shrug it off, whatever? I mean, there are specific mechanics, especially in the earlier games. Dude, I remember it used to be the biggest pain in the butt to open a door because you had to roll a certain die and you had to break it down. And you're just like, dude, I'm just sitting here hacking at this door like it's friggin' Fort Knox, and it won't come down. And so, I mean, obviously that's been fixed as things have gone on and it's a little bit easier. But man, for a game that gives you so much flexibility, there's little bitty bits like that where you're like, I'm just stuck. You know, and I don't like that, but again, it's a simple game. And so you've got to kind of give and take the good and the bad of that. It's really easy to get into. It's really easy to teach. I can just hand somebody a mini and say, let's go. But then there's the opposite side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can play up to six as well. So that's something to look at, you know, you'd be able to play with that many people, and it doesn't add too much to overall gameplay as well. Like it's length of game. So it's something to keep an eye out on.
Yeah. If everyone's dialed in, I mean, it's actually easier because then you're only controlling one character instead of having to control multiple. So there's kind of there's a give and take to that. Going back to the positives for a second, I love the flexibility of this game. If you say, you know what, I think we should play with just four survivors and see how that goes, or I want to try this and see how it plays out. The game gives you that ability. Most board games don't. I mean, if you adjust something that has any kind of significant value, it's going to wreck you one way or the other. It's either going to be way too easy or it's going to become way too broken or whatever. But this game handles that really well. And so if you're into house ruling and making up your own stuff, this is a great game to play around with.
Yeah. No. And so, yeah, you mentioned that. So being able to, I guess I'll say it like a positive and negative right here, because they're kind of in the same thing. Is that being able to play multiple characters is really fun. And being able to use that and kind of use your characters together. This guy's got this. This guy's got, you know, this guy's good at melee. This guy's good at ranged. Or this guy's good at speed, but this guy's good at just beating down people. And so you can use those combos together. That works really well, obviously, at a higher player count where you each only have one character. But being able to use two characters and kind of tag team them together and use them effectively together is fun. And you kind of see those combos working before your eyes. The problem with that is that if you kind of bump it up to another player count and you only get one character, you kind of just take a swing. You only get three actions, basically. Yep. Like you kind of, it's like, boom, you do your turn and then five other people have to go. And so there is a little bit of downtime there. And so that's something to keep an eye out on a higher player count, because where if you're playing with two characters, you're getting those, you're seeing those combos happen. Where before that, it almost feels like everybody's just helping on their turn.
Yeah.
I'm helping everybody else. And my turn's just so short. I never felt like I'm like fully playing all the time.
Right.
But it's an experience at six. I'm not going to say that it's bad. It doesn't suck. Like it's still fun. It's still fun, but it does feel like more of this kind of like group, everybody helping, than it does me like dominating as this hero against some zombies, where in a lower player count, you do feel like that. You're like, okay, on my turn where I use multiple characters, I beat up six zombies. That's cool. So just something like, it is a little bit of give and take. I guess that's more of an attack on the higher player counts than the lower player counts, but there it is something that's there as well.
You should try playing it at eight, because you can do that with the expansions.
That's crazy. I don't know if I would want to do that.
That was actually, I think that was how I was introduced to it. We had a full 8-person game. It's fun, but it does have times where you disagree with the group and you just got to kind of sit there and deal with being outvoted, basically.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
I don't think
I would do that.
But anyways, all right. So that's the good. That's the bad. We talked about all kinds of expansions. You do interact with your player teammates because it is a groupthink game, and you got to make sure that you're on the same page with each other, at least to some degree, or you will fall apart and fail. Here's another one, Ian, because I feel like I've heard you say this a few times, especially with Batman, where you say that you love that it comes down to the final roll.
Mm, yeah.
Something I don't like about this game that happens is with a little bit of bad luck, the whole game comes to a screeching halt and you lose. Just like that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of co-ops actually do that, but it is so obviously apparent when it happens in this game where you're on a good clip, everything's going great, and then it's just the wrong flip. There's almost nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, it's over. I don't know. I don't really care for that.
Yeah. It is. I don't know if I've won this game.
What? That's not real.
No, I don't think I've ever won this game.
Oh my gosh.
And for a game that you should win at some point, it's quite frustrating that I haven't. And I will say it's not because of me. I didn't lose it, but I didn't win it either, I guess.
Well, and that's something.
And so like you're saying, in the games that I have played, what happens, like you're saying, is that you are doing very, very well. And what happens, this is what happens in every game that I've played. The group as a whole gets a little bit cocky and comfortable and they open a door that they shouldn't.
Yep.
And when you open that door to one of the bigger buildings towards the end of a game, there is a flood of zombies that comes through and kills somebody. And it's something that, again, the table just, they're like, oh, we're just knocking them out. Okay, let's open this door and then we'll make it through the next turn. We'll be fine. No, you will die because you didn't pay attention that there's like a horde of them coming this way. And so I do think what tends to happen is it makes the players feel comfortable where they're at, and then it just floods them. So maybe that's just, I need to be more vocal. I don't know. Like I just say, hey, whoa, 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 let's not get cocky here because you can't do that.
But that part's not a fault of the game. That's your players being idiots.
that's true, I guess. But there was a situation where we did open the door, we knocked out some zombies in three bad flips, and then it just turned
it. And that's more of what I'm talking about. If you're the last survivor in a round, you cannot open a door.
Yeah.
Just, you can't.
Yeah.
But if you clear half the building and you're in a quote unquote safer place, and then you still end up dying because of bad flips, that sucks. It feels awful.
Yeah.
And it happens more than I feel like it should.
Right. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's part of it as well. I don't know. I'm not sure what the situations are on all of them. And maybe I'll just win a string of these games. I don't know, but
it's coming.
It definitely feels like, no, I would agree with you in that aspect of the randomness a little bit. And there's a ramp at the end for the zombies that I don't know if there is for the heroes. Even though they're progressing on this track of getting better, I feel like the zombies are just starting to flood way, way, way more. So you can't just hang around.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can't just hang around. And I actually, that's something that I do like, because that's what goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of, you can't just focus on getting jacked.
Yeah.
Because the zombies will outpace you because there's so many more of them.
Right. You can't just focus. And I did say that, I guess, is that you have to decide, okay, what's better for the group or what's better for me? And you have to decide, like, hey, this is where we're going to have to push for the mission in here and forget about this weapon or something of that kind. So I was looking at, so it is mentioned that this game is best at three. So,
oh, for sure. I agree. I agree with your sentiment for sure.
No, I was just curious of what they thought. I mean, I'd say 3 to 4 for sure, but yeah, three, that gives everybody two characters if you're playing. So that's pretty good. I like that.
I actually really like the challenge of playing at four survivors instead of six
as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was fun. That was fun. We ended up losing, but it was fun.
But you felt, I mean, everything clipped really well, and you just, you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, we'll just try it and we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
well, anyways. And again, like I said, when you have the two characters, you still feel like you're achieving something on your turn and not just adding 2 cents to the pot.
Yeah, that's right. Let's move into grading and final thoughts.
Should I go first?
Yeah, why not?
This game is I think a complete game for what it wants to be. I think it adds a great cooperative aspect that is light and fun, which I think cooperative should. I think it adds some tension as well. and the randomness of the card draws for weapons and items and zombies themselves, the way the zombies ramp, which is very similar to many other cooperatives on how there's cards that trigger some extra stuff. So if you're familiar with any type of system like that, it is very similar on how that works. I think it's a good twist on those systems. Overall, I think players have the ability to make decisions and have fun, which is really the biggest thing. You're going to be able to have fun playing this game, especially just beating up some zombies with all these cool weapons and gear and characters. I mentioned the things I don't like, and they are heavily influenced in my opinion of the game, but I would give this game a 7.5. I think it is a solid game. I think it works very well as a cooperative. I would like, I 7.5 seems low, I guess, but it just doesn't have a ton of like depth, but it is a solid game. And I don't want a 7.5 to say, oh, well, that's just a mediocre score for Ian. It's not. That's a good game.
I don't think 7.5 is bad. Okay. I'll push back on that a little bit. You're 2.5 points from a 10.
Yeah.
I think that's a good game.
Yeah. And I think BGG has it slightly higher than that. I don't want to give it an 8. So I think that's a little high. But 7.5, I think, again, it is a solid, solid game. I have fun every time I play it. The ease of entry is there. It's easy to teach. You can knock it out if you're playing with a low player count, probably in an hour or less. And you can run it back if you want. And there's a lot of variety. And there's a ton of expansions. It has everything in a game that you would want. So it is a solid game, and I love playing it. I have fun playing it. Do I want to play it all the time? No, because I lose every time I play this game. So no, I don't want to play it every time.
Oh, man.
So I will move on to something that I can at least attempt to win. But overall, I think this is a great game. I think it's very fun, and I think it fits the bill. It does everything that it wants to do, which is, that's all you can ask. And quality components, ooh, yeah. You got me there. Give me some minis and I'll give you some points. No problem.
I really struggle with what to do with this game from a score perspective, because I agree with you. It's got really good components. It's got expansions that I can grab as many as I want to. It's got quick gameplay, easy to teach to get a new player in and just start cruising. It's got a lot. And in some ways, I like that. I think I've got to be in the right mood for this game. I think that's what it really comes down to.
Totally.
I've got to be ready for just a chill evening of slaughtering zombies. And when I'm in that mode, it's a super fun game.
Yeah.
I will say some of the things about the way that I don't know, man. I remember a few years ago, I really wanted to get Black Plague, which was the fantasy version.
Like, yeah.
I was shopping around for which zombicide I wanted. I had second edition. I thought it was cool. I ended up giving it to a friend to let him enjoy it instead. And that was fine. I was just kind of deciding what was next. And I really wanted Black Plague, but it was almost impossible to find anything outside of just the base game. And so I hate that whole Kickstarter exclusive, get it now or get it never. And I know that's not the game's fault, but it rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. I think this sounds so depressing compared to the score I'm going to give it. I think when I'm in the mood for it, it's a 7.5, 7.75. Like, it's right in that range. It's a good game. It leaves a little bit to be desired from a depth perspective, but the fact that it has so many different missions and all the other things I listed before, I think it's solid. If anyone said, Jared, give me a zombie game, I'm going to give you Zombicide and say, have fun, because there's a lot to be had in there as far as missions and all that. So, I have chosen Invader, our space version, because that's the one Anna liked the best, and we couldn't find Black Plague, so it made it really easy to say, okay, we're going to do that, and maybe we keep that one, maybe we move on from it and move on to a new edition at some point. Like I said, they're going to keep making Kickstarters, and if you want to drop a few $100 on this game, just wait for the next Kickstarter and see if that's the one you want.
Right.
Because that's going to be your best buy. So, I don't know. I'm rambling, but I think it's a 7.5, 7.75, somewhere in there.
I think that's fine. I understand the sentiment that, yes, I think there is, as far as a game, I think we can rank it as is and say that, but there is a caveat, which is that there are some issues on purchasing and the model that they have, because it, if you want to play it, you know, there you go.
And no fault to them. They're making a stupid amount of money doing it this way. Every Kickstarter makes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you all for taking the time to listen. And if you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistlin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we sit down at the two-top table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Don't get eaten.
Don't get eaten. Run.